This is Highly Social with Mike Eaton. Bitches, show Mike Eaton your titties.
Have you ever met anybody that was like trust fund rich?
Yeah.
Where money didn't just like even come into the equation in their head?
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Sean in college was like that when he turned 18, inherited $25 million. And what was so crazy is that he didn't turn 18 until the second semester of freshman year of college.
How much of that does he have left?
Most of it.
Really?
So his dad before he died was like one of the premier exotic car dealership owners on the East Coast. So from like whatever south of like DC all the way to like South Carolina, he has like 140 dealerships.
Oh, wow.
So and then he died of super cancer. Yeah. And then he left the trust fund and then sold the business. So then Sean got 25 and his mom got like 250.
Oh, wow.
And so then Sean just had his money and didn't have to spend it on like hard. So first semester, I was the rich one. And like I would take care of, I had my dad's credit card, so I didn't have to worry about money. And so I just took care of everything. And then second semester, I went to go pay for something and he was like, oh no, I got it. And I was like, no, buddy, it's cool. Like my dad pays for it. And he goes, no, dude, I got it. And he shows me his bank account. I was like, bro, what? You can check your account balance and it has that many digits?
That's absurd. There was this gas station by the apartment I had in Knoxville. I was so broke. And I remember there was this ATM that always had like a stack of the receipts on mm-hmm. top. And I happened to pick one up and I looked at it and it was a $40 withdrawal. And then the total balance was $18 million. I was like, what the who is here?
Who's getting 40 out of that?
Yeah. Who leaves $18 million in a checking account?
Yeah.
What's in your savings?
Yeah. $27. Yeah. Whatever the amount to keep me from getting charged a fee is.
Whatever's been rolled over this month.
That's so funny.
All right, we're good, boys.
Oh,
whenever
man.
Whenever you want.
What a disappointing series of texts to get from someone. Who are you rooting for, Taylor Swift or Usher? It's like,
oh,
God.
Jesus Christ.
Rooting for you to kill yourself now that you said that to me.
Yeah. Is Taylor playing? Is she playing in the game?
Yeah, she is.
Sick.
She's coaching the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Andy Reid resigned.
Yeah.
So like, this is the future of football.
Anything about football or Taylor Swift?
So we're already recording?
Yeah,
cool. All right, welcome to the podcast. It's Highly Social, brought to you by the Creek of the Cave, the best comedy club in the world, especially in Austin, Texas. We got shows and mics 7 days a week. Come on down. And the rest of the sponsors are great, too. So
how long?
Okay. Today's guest is Darian Irwin. Hooray. So we'll continue our conversation that we were already having.
Yeah.
Taylor's fine. I used to like her music. I Knew You Were Trouble was a great song. Shake It Off was fine. She's had some bangers that were like fun to like ironically as a guy. Be like, haha, this music's so gay, but it's actually pretty good. And you show your friends and you all sing it and you're like, oh, it's fun. Right? Look, you guys make all the side eyes you want. But,
ironically.
Yeah, but it's like Jesse McCartney when he made Beautiful Soul.
Do you know what I'm saying though? Like, how do you not? wait a minute. Go ahead.
Do you remember the song Beautiful Soul by Jesse McCartney?
No, I'm a straight man.
I don't want another pretty face. I don't want just anyone to hold. I can't make eye contact and sing it to you. That's worse.
Yeah.
But it's a great song.
Okay.
And I have a distinct memory of coming home from a baseball game with three of my friends who grew up to be straight. So take that, idiot. And I remember us all just singing that song at the top of our lungs in traffic. And my mom.
You can't prove that.
That they grew up to be straight?
Yeah.
I tried to fuck both of them. And they said no. So straight as hell.
Yeah. Right.
But so like Taylor's fine. And then over the last few years, she's become such a mega star
mm-hmm.
that you like this year, especially though with the,
you think she's bigger now than she's ever, is this the most popular she's ever been?
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
For sure. I mean,
and
that thing. And at first I thought it was a psyop to cover all of the bad PR about her private jet usage, because the game that her and Travis Kelce came out of the dating closet and like did a hard launch was when the Chiefs were playing the Jets. So if you Googled Taylor Swift Jets, that's what came up, is her at the game. And it was just flooded with articles about that. Whereas it used to have a lot of people complaining about how much she uses her jet to travel tiny amounts. And then
what's wrong with that?
She says all this bullshit about wanting to save the environment and like how we need to like combat climate change.
I didn't know that.
And then she takes a private jet everywhere. Like there's a flight on the flight, because all the flight tracking information is public domain. So like there's one, she took like a 10 minute flight the other day. She's like, that's fuck you. Kill yourself.
I like her now. I like her now. That's pretty cool. I would do the same thing. Also the idea that it's such a weird thing that people get hung up on, especially like with politicians. I'm not, this is a weird thing. Cause it's like a, it's just funny to me. It's not one private jet either though. That's ever going to be the problem.
No.
It's like a dumb thing.
No, we have Jeff Bezos.
Okay.
Well, this is getting demonetized, but
I don't know how to tell you this, but we need to steal the Declaration of Independence.
I mean, you said it just fine. What did you not know how to tell me about that? No, my whole thing is like when people get that popular where their fans start being like, I can't tell you how many.
Well, it's not her fans that are complaining about that.
No. The thing that is driving me crazy is the number of her fans that are doing this like tongue-in-cheek, nanny-nanny boo-boo of, oh, we're watching Taylor's boyfriend play today, sports ball. And it's just like fucking.
That just sounds like, that's how you woke me up today. That's how you called me.
No, I hate that. I hate that specific behavior and it makes me mad. It's, maybe I'm a Republican man. I don't know what it is, but something about me is just like,
that's
shut up,
what
whore.
It is. He's a Republican gay. Oh.
Now it makes sense.
Mike Pence rules, dude. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You got a lot of tickets to be sold in front of you if you can really lean into that.
What, being a closeted Republican?
No. No, you're out as a Republican.
No, but I'm gay and yes. I'm a Republican. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. So I'm
clip that. Clip that. We got it. We got it. Over.
It would be insane to have like 10 just like strippers dressed as cops come here like, woo, we got him, boys.
And you're just...
Yeah!
If you would have told me, I would have tried to schedule that.
Oh, man. Where are those fucking ranch hands when you need them?
I was about to bring up, I do think you've been to more ranch hands than anybody else that I know.
No.
Okay.
No. No, our group, I've missed like 3 weeks. And they haven't missed any.
Yeah.
Or what?
Who? Who hasn't missed any?
No. Doesn't matter. So what? Sports. You like football?
Yeah.
No, I came into ranch hands once. I left like either my card or something here, but I left something here and I had to come back. Oh, I left my keys. That was the fucking nightmare. I left my keys in the green room. And I had to come back and get them the next day. So I Uber downtown and it's 2 on a Saturday, which shouldn't exist downtown. And then I walked inside here and there's just a bunch of women in their 40s just frothing at the loins.
Yeah.
And just a bunch of young dudes up there like, we are rich hands. Yeah. And the first like 5 minutes I was engrossed. I was like, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's just the same thing.
Yeah. It is cool to watch a bunch of women be turned on.
Yeah.
That is fun. It is.
They never do it.
Because they never do it. Yeah. They don't act like that in normal situations.
And then they're suddenly all horned up and just reaching for dong. Yeah.
Just acting like dudes.
It's so cool.
It is cool. Yeah.
Like, see why we do it? It's fun as hell, ladies.
It is fun as hell.
Get all horned up in public.
And attractive women. Because it's normally hot girls that go to that.
It is. There's very few uggos.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last time I was here, I mean, they were probably 6s and 7s on average.
Yeah.
Austin's not that hot of a city. You know, I think it is. And I look around and I see a lot of hot ladies, but then I see a lot of.
Just see where I grew up, buddy.
Fair. No, small towns are gross. I hate them.
Yeah.
The city of Brenham, ooh, I got a bone to pick with them. Brenham, home of Bluebell Ice Cream, and the Bulldogs was their high school mascot. Decent football team, I think 3A.
Where is this?
About halfway to Houston.
Okay.
Maybe Texas. A little less. Yeah, it is Texas. And it's just right off 290. It's one of those bullshit towns that just exists because people didn't make it to either of their final destinations, one of the real cities. So they're like, oh, we'll go to Austin from Houston. And they're like, we give up. Let's just stay here.
Yeah.
And go Brandon Bulldogs. So I was starving and I stopped in at Chapel Hill Barbecue and Bakery in Brenham, Texas. Mm-hmm. And I got a chopped beef plate with mac and cheese and coleslaw. I hope everyone in that town dies. I hope that there's a second Holocaust and it just affects Brenham, Texas. And every single one of them gets just gassed, dude. Zyklon B, the whole city. Fuck them. Fuck their belief system. I hate them. It was the worst plate of food I've ever had. Wow. The mac and cheese was so bland. It was so yellow for having so little cheese flavor. And then the chopped beef, the texture of the outside pieces was closer to like a beef jerky. It was all dry and hard and prickly. And then the inside was salty and gross. And then they had this overly sweet sauce that you were supposed to try and fix it with to give just any moisture to this just ick platter. And then the coleslaw was decent. But
I just had an idea. I'm just going to say this as a menu item, and I just want to see how upset you would be if this was on a menu. Beef jerky sandwich.
I feel like if you did it the right way, it could be all right.
Yeah, but no.
I don't know. I've been having biltong. Bitlong. It's a South American dried meat, similar to beef jerky, but infinitely more flavorful. And you can get it with peri-peri spices.
But is it just beef jerky, but just different seasoning?
It's a different method.
Yeah. Oh.
It's a different method of curing the meat. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Curing it of what? No one's ever asked you that before, huh?
Oh, my God. Am I eating previously sick meat?
Cancer beef, dude.
Did this have mad cow disease?
Yeah.
And then you cured it?
Yeah.
I think that's in your prions. You ever get scared of any of those weird diseases? Like, how scared are you of rabies?
Rabies, not at all.
Really?
No.
We have bats here.
We do.
Yes. We have bats here.
We also have a vaccine.
Yeah, but by the time you show any symptoms of rabies, it's too late.
But I've also already been vaccinated.
I think I did. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it last for a long time?
I have no idea. But also, I only have no idea because I'm not scared of it at all.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But it feels like if you're as scared as you are, you should know the answers to these questions.
I never even thought about vaccines.
Yeah.
I know I got bunches of them.
Yeah.
I got chock full
of them. Yeah, I'm not scared of polio. I'm not scared of...
Well, polio's different. Polio doesn't kill you every time.
But it'd be real bad to get it.
I guess. We've got probably cures and shit now.
Yeah. Exactly.
So yeah, but we don't have a cure for rabies. Rabies kills you every time. If you show symptoms, you die.
Okay.
And there's all these bats out here. Imagine you're just out at night. You're having a good time with the boys. You just saw a show at Moody ACL Live. We had a blasty blast, and we all had some beverages. And then we're walking down the bridge because it's so nice. It's cool outside, and the drugs feel great. Right. You're like, yeah, wow, it's so pretty. And then like
you piss a bat off.
No. You feel like something, and you're like, fuck, a mosquito or a spider or something. And you just hit it, and you just have like a little blood thing. And you're like, man, fucking something bit me. That's crazy.
And it's a bat.
But you didn't know it was a bat.
Why wouldn't I know?
You weren't paying attention. You're enjoying the beauty and splendor of life.
Okay.
And so you get bit, and then, you know, like a week or two later, you start to feel like a little wonky. And you're like, man, I don't feel great. I'm kind of under the weather. I wonder if I got COVID. That sucks. And then you go and you get tested, and you have like 102 fever. And they're like, oh, wow. And they start testing you for stuff, and it keeps just getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And then you find out it's rabies. You're going to die. And in 5 days, your brain is going to melt from the insides. You're going to start getting so fucked up that you're scared of water. And you're going to froth at the mouth. And the only possible way is this one method where they super overheat your body. And it's only ever fixed one person. And everybody else just dies from it.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't scare you?
No. Oh,
man.
No, it sounds like a very far-fetched scenario that you've put together. The idea that I'm going to get bit by a bat and think, oh, that was probably a mosquito. That's sad. I mean, like, what are you fucking talking about?
You ever been bit
about?
By a bat? I don't know what it feels like.
Yeah, well, very true.
I've been bit by some spiders that hurt pretty bad. Yeah. I got bit by a snake.
Okay.
That was not great.
Right. But you knew what to do.
Well, I saw the snake.
Right.
If I didn't see the bat.
Right.
Who knows?
Yeah. I'm not going to, listen, maybe there's something to be afraid of. This is not one that I'm putting in the brain.
All right, what are you scared of?
Financial ruin.
Well, that's...
Financial ruin when the Uber when the Uber price updates and I'm fucked.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's the level I'm operating at right now.
I hate when you have like a negative account balance and you're hungry. And you're like, oh, what do I do?
Yeah.
And you have to just go steal.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Yeah, that scares me.
Yeah. Try being a smoker and you have to choose between eating and cigarettes.
Oh no. Eating.
Eat the cigarettes.
Well, I guess though, but nicotine is an appetite suppressant.
Mm-hmm. True.
So you rip some fucking heaters and then you're like, hey, daddy's not hungry.
Yeah. And food is whatever the opposite of a suppressant is for nicotine.
Yes.
Like it makes you want
nicotine so bad.
So bad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Eating after food. After, or smoking after food. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, there are a few sensations from cigarettes that I miss, but I can't pick them back up. They taste so heavy.
Too heavy. So stupid.
You should move to Brenham.
I should. That is ultimately where I belong in this world.
Hey, rent's cheap.
I know, man. It's so stupid.
It's $7 to live indoors in Brenham.
It is just such a lack of awareness that I look like I look, and I'm like, I can make it in show business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird looking people make it all the time.
Thanks.
You ever heard of Shrek? You fucking idiot.
Back.
Huh?
Gain the weight back.
I'm working on it.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you tried looking like an ex-lineman from the NFL.
Well, I had gotten really, really thin because we were training for the ride. I had never actually really wanted to be that thin. I didn't want to be as fat as I was. That's annoying. But I'm actually comfortable where I'm at right now.
Dude, same.
Yeah. You don't look comfortable.
It's crazy. I'm padded everywhere. Yeah. I can lay on rocks and be comfortable, dog. Yeah. That body. Do you think it's lucky that homeless people are so good at falling asleep anywhere? Have you ever noticed that? Like, I'm such a pillow princess. Like, I have to have...
You just got done saying how you're comfortable everywhere.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie. That was a bit.
No, but I know.
I legitimately have a tough time sleeping anywhere that's not comfortable.
You have a tough time sleeping because...
Sleep apnea.
Yes.
Obesity. Yeah.
You can't breathe.
It's fine. But the act of falling asleep is not impacted by the obesity. It's impacted by the mental illness. So I have a tough time falling asleep unless I'm very comfortable and the right conditions are met. And
what are those conditions?
It's gonna be cold.
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 I'm the same way with cold.
I need ideally 64.
With blankets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need my face to be cold and my body to be okay.
That's so rich man mentality.
I guess.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Turn the AC up, blast the AC.
I've been broke my whole life and I have the same thing. I don't think this is a rich thing.
This is
a fat thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sweat. In normal if it's 72, I'm sweating.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know, and I already sleep naked. There's not more clothes I can take off. And then it's like,
Do you sleep naked?
What?
Do you sleep naked?
No.
Yeah, I've always been very particular about sleep. But like when I see like people on the sidewalk sleeping, and it's like, man, you look so comfortable. Mm. Right? Like they're just in their shitty REI sleeping bag, just posted up in a corner on concrete, just like.
There is a.
You walk by, they don't even move.
Yeah, that's they're incredible. Just in their zone. Cars are honking and they're just
no fear
right through it.
No fear. Yeah. There's a freedom that they must experience being homeless.
Yeah.
I, you know,
yeah. Times and dates no longer affect you.
Yeah. Working a desk job sometimes feels more like I could chill and just chill at fucking A&N Butler Park all day and go do mics. I could be a homeless comic. I'd be great at that.
This is a big step forward for you.
It really is.
Embracing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be better.
If you were just doing 6 or 7 mics every day?
Well, I would hopefully be doing shows. I wouldn't have to go back to doing mics, but.
No, if you lose the house, you lose the shows.
Yeah, that's probably true.
If you become an outdoor person, we can't put you on shows.
Yeah, but think about it, then you're just working on jokes all day.
Yeah. So you go to the gym to shower.
Do you, this is going to get very pretentious. I'm very sorry to do this on your podcast, but do you like, so there's the idea of like Russian authors would talk about it a lot. Like the idea that like, in order
we
to
shall
be
hit a, the children.
Yes. Oh. In order to be a good writer though, you do have to live and experience life. You can't actually, you can't unplug that way and then have something interesting to say about living life.
Yeah.
You think that's true?
100%.
You subscribe to that?
So my theory on it is that you have to. It's the vicissitudes, it's the up and down, it's the wave nature of life, is that you have to go in and be experiencing it and be a part of it, and then you have to be removed from the chaos to digest it and interpret it and to portray it.
Vicissitudes?
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a good word?
Yeah.
Nice.
Right there.
Nice.
But so it's, you said pretentious.
Yeah, I hope it's not a word too.
No, it is.
Yeah, I bet you it is. I don't know it. It's, I would be interested in the definition, which
wave-like
he's
in nature.
Gathering. Yeah. Context.
Anyways, so.
L. Ron Hubbard makes you look up all the words you don't understand.
I love that. He's a good guy for that. Mm-hmm. The rest of his stuff. Fine.
Oh, it gets weird. It gets weird beyond that. He thinks that the misunderstanding of words is like the root of all evil in the world.
I can see that.
You think so?
Yeah. Well, because women are so bad at communication. It's like, I'm just trying to explain, you dumb bitch. Why do you look up the word?
Oh my God.
Let me see a fucking pussy. Yeah.
Hey, show me that muff.
Hey, let me see that box.
Would you misunderstand me?
Dude, yeah. We pulled into a fucking gas station 30 minutes ago, and there's a woman that walks by the car, and just at full blast, Mike's just go, show me that pussy.
The doors were closed.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I did it right as he was about to open the door so that he would freak out. I'd be like, oh my God. But anyway, so I think that like you have to go in and experience life and do it, and then you have to get on the outside of it. Like a bunch of very successful quarterbacks have had their best seasons after like a big injury where they're out of the game because they had the perspective to take like a, I think that's a Malcolm Gladwell story, so it might be bullshit, but it's just like having the perspective.
Is it that 10,000 hours guy?
Yeah, Outliers.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think that there is something to that because I've noticed like all of my best jokes and all of my best stories and all the funniest things I have are when I was living in a way that was reckless and dangerous and exciting, but that I wasn't able to talk about them in the moment because I was fully consumed by the recklessness of life, but then taking some space.
Yeah, I think
from
also
that.
People want to have an idea that you're removed and if you're going to talk about how unhinged you are, it only is funny in the context of you're not that guy anymore.
Yes.
Like Sam was trying to talk about alcoholism on stage while being pissed drunk. And it was like, everything you're saying is really funny. The crowd just can't come with you because you still have this problem.
Yeah.
That's the same thing.
It is. But that's the thing that's like interesting about people is the outside stuff. It's not just the go to your day job, work your thing, have a wife and kids, pay a mortgage. Like that's pretty fucking boring. And like to escape from that, you need someone that's not abiding by all of those rules.
I don't understand the escape from that. I can't even get to that. I can't even.
Yeah, you're built different. You were made for this.
Yeah.
You weren't made for that.
Yeah, I'm realizing it more and more. I have a day job right now and boy, am I going to get fired. I am just so not a good fit. It's such a straight-laced fucking office.
What kind of work?
Insurance.
Oh, fuck.
It's like, and it's like I've made very benign jokes that have already been a huge problem.
Dude, it's so ridiculous to see.
I'm late every day.
Can we document
your firing? Well, I'm going to do a series where I'm going to start shitting my pants every day until they fire me.
Yeah.
We can't say that now because they'll know. But
Fuck me.
He's got to do something different. He'll
something
pee himself
so you can
something.
Maybe claim unemployment?
Yeah.
Well, so I didn't know that you could do that. He said if I get fired for any reason, if they're the ones that fire me, I can get unemployment.
As long as you don't quit unless they petition that it was for a cause or something. I don't know what Texas
there is some shit that, but like for the most part, get that money, player. You know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you some people should text about this because they're pros at it, but
professional unemployment collectors,
buddy.
Wow,
it's a racket.
Yeah, I know.
Day job stuff. Like when you're out here at the back of Creek and you're sitting in a circle with comics, there's almost nothing that you can say where people are gonna be like, "Yo, what the fuck?" You know,
unless you're me.
Yeah, unless you're you or you just drop hard R's. But like, for the most part, there's not really anything you're going to say that's going to walk a group of comics unless it's to be funny that they're walking. The other day I was at my day job and two of my friends have lost a tremendous amount of weight in the last 2 years. When I first started, they were both about my size, a little shorter, so weighed less. But all of us were bigger guys and, you know, we drink and smoke and shut the bars down. And then they both have lost like 150 pounds. And so they look like very thin and in shape. And we were sitting around and me and those two and like five other people from my day job that all are just killing time at the show. And they were joking how when people ask them how they lost the weight, they like to give crazy answers. And one of them goes, yeah, like when people tell me, like, how did you lose like 150 pounds? Goes, well, I just hookers and blow. And so, you know, we all laugh at that. I was like, man, if that was true, I'd look like a Holocaust survivor. And everybody just walked away. Not a single laugh. Just seven people just turned and walked away from me. I was like,
I can't deal with.
That was funny. That was funny. You guys are wrong.
Well, this has also given me a window into how desensitized I actually am because I didn't think that that was a real thing and how different it is, like the way we talk. Mm-hmm. And because I didn't really think that it was a thing until being in this office and listening to the conversations that they make each other laugh with makes me want to put a spike in my head.
Buddy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're getting material for new material.
No, I'm not. No, I'm dying inside every day.
Well, so that's the problem is that the material you gain from that is the least relatable and most heinous thing you got on the stage. Because you get up here and then you say, God, can you imagine having a day job and having to go in and just have this soul-sucking, miserable life? And they're like, yes, that is what I do.
And that's why they all laugh at the things that we say, because they're not, because a stand-up doesn't really make me laugh like that unless it's one of the best in the fucking world. And part of it is because those are the conversations that are making them laugh that I can't even relate. I come across like an asshole. I shouldn't be the asshole. You guys are the assholes. You're the most unfunny people in the world laughing at each other. And yeah. I'm the dick because this isn't funny.
You'll never guess what Sarah said.
Yeah. And I bet you I will.
Yeah.
Bet you I could fucking 100%
say,
believe
I'm
it.
I'm a dumb cunt. Nah. Because she should. Yeah. That's who she is. Yeah. Some of that like real life stuff is funny where they're having that. But then it's like Louis C.K. has that joke about the word hilarious on that special.
Yeah,
where he's
great.
Listening to the two guys in the car. Like, that's hilarious. Yeah. And just like misusing the
word. I don't
know
if there's Britney bitches, but I bet she's not that funny. Yeah. Is that what he says? Yeah.
Just that, just seeing her would cause me to lose my mind with laughter.
Yeah.
It's, it is frustrating how many times that like I think I've uncovered like something observational about like the world and like something interesting that I can bring to the stage to realize that Louis did it in a much better and funnier way 15 years ago.
Yeah. I was talking about this with Casey on the road. I do think though that there is something to be said about the idea that like everything's already sort of been done. And I think that's actually true. I do think the thing that you can bring to something that maybe has already been kind of done is the you-ness to it. You know what I mean? Although Louis did something like that, he didn't do it the way that you're going to do it and make it funny.
Yeah.
But because you're not him, it's also not going to be as good as what he did. So that's the real bigger issue.
Yeah. That is the much larger. The first part's fine.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like
you're just going to do something he's already done worse. That's a problem.
Yeah. So I don't know. But I also I think recently one of the things that I've realized more is that like crowds are really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot
people
of
people are dumb.
Like a lot of the people there are just, they're icky doo doo heads. They don't have good brain thinking.
Wow.
Yeah. Unlike here.
Unlike me, who is smart and good at brain thinking.
Yes.
I have good brain thoughts all the time.
Yeah.
But there's just a, like, my first big problem in stand up that was keeping me from being funny
was standing up.
However,
and then I got that shit down. Listen, only one of us sits during our sets, and it ain't me.
I've started doing that. It's not good.
I fucking hate it.
I know you do.
I hate you sitting.
You know what sucks
so
is I love it.
Of course you do.
I love it so much.
Of course you do.
I just don't. But you don't think it comes. You don't think it adds anything.
No. No, I don't think you sitting on a stool and looking at your phone and saying,
"Yeah,
oh, all right."
But Big J wasn't all.
Too?
But Big J wasn't. First of all, that's on very late. Hold on, that's very late sets when I'm just fucking around. There's stuff that's not important. I didn't do it for the Netflix thing, right?
Well, yeah,
yeah.
You didn't sit for the Netflix thing either.
No, obviously
you
not.
Stood like a man,
right? I don't know. There's something about it, especially when you go into those situations, dude. If I walk in here, it's here. We're here, right? It's fucking midnight. There's 12 people here. I'm going to do this as like we're fucking around. I'm going to, and that I feel like ends up being way funnier and better than them watching some polished fucking asshole try and do his set when there's 9 people there and it's midnight.
I'm with you there that the specific use case you just presented is correct.
Yes.
But that is a false dichotomy. There are two options. You can be loose and not be a polished asshole doing his set and still fucking stand up. It's like what I don't think that there is anything that you are gaining from making yourself smaller on stage. I don't see any benefit to it. The people that have made it work are people that have already established a persona so well that coming into the show, you have expectations. Patrice was a monster and he devastated people in the crowd. And when he was doing that devastation, he was standing and he was standing in the front of the stage and just annihilating people.
Right.
And then after he'd built
this
reputation,
I will never kill like that.
He would sit on a stool and people would think they were safe. And he would lull them into a false sense of safety because the big loud man is just sitting there. But now he's a fucking turret. Just bah, bah. So that's when the stool has added something to the set. Or say you're talking about having sex and you want to see what humping would look like. Hump the stool. It adds something to the set.
Wow. That's what I've been missing. Yeah. I've been the one comic not fucking the stool.
Yeah. Fucking idiot. It's not for sitting. It's for fucking. Yeah. It's a stool.
When I'm headlining and it is my show, I will sit for a lot of it. Yeah,
sure.
100%.
Wow. Sure.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Ballsy.
Hey, look, man.
Yeah. It's also ballsy to think you could ever do this for a living.
Ballsy.
Just generally?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, yes. So, I also understand it's ballsy, but it's also crazier. The idea that we just blew by when I'm headlining, you guys just accepted that and then got mad about the idea of me sitting on the
stage. You're right. You should have been mad at the idea
of me headlining.
Buddy, I worked with a deaf comedy magician.
What are we talking about?
Who headlined a city called Tokyo, Texas. The thought of you headlining isn't that crazy.
Also, how hard is it to get the name of a city changed? How have they not done that yet?
They didn't even spell Tokyo right. It's T-O-K-I-O.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What the fuck, dude? Man, that was a truly special place to be. That's the one where there were all the snakes under.
Who's to say Tokyo is spelling it right?
The first ones?
Yeah.
They were first. Tokyo, Japan is way older than Tokyo, Texas. Tokyo, Japan's like where the first people were. I think that's where the Garden of Eden is.
Hmm. Oh, man. I've never thought about that.
The snake in the tree? That was actually Godzilla.
Yeah.
Eat the apple, Eve. You have to eat the apple.
What I love about this is there's no joke here. This is him just saying Bible stuff in an Asian accent. And it's crushing. I mean, it's legitimately crushing.
Accents make everything better. I've been doing the Swedish thing recently where I say, hello.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, accents make everything so much funnier when you are from a place that doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Like, Dallas, for the most part, has a very mild accent. It's Hank Hill is the caricature of our accent. And I can tell people I'm from anywhere and they believe it. I can just lie.
Yeah.
Everybody, when I moved back here, thought I was from California. When I moved out there and I would tell people I'm from Texas, they'd be like, but where were you like born? Because I don't have the Downs voice. So like, but when you hear like these peanut butter mouth people from overseas and they got their fucking rah, rah, rah with their mouths, that's like, whoa.
Peanut butter mouth.
That's what I call accents.
Yeah.
That's accurate as fuck. Dude.
Yeah, you're, no, sure. Yeah. That's,
but I mean like just like one of my favorite channels is this dude Clayton's World. Clayton's a guy with Down syndrome in Australia.
Chicken burger.
It's like,
I can't talk to you about this. I just realized who you're talking about. I can't go down this road with you again.
Oh, man. Someone sent me, so here's the problem with me being very open about my love for people with all of the mental goofballness is that now everybody that sees a goofball on the internet sends it to me. So as soon as there's new goofball content, people are like, look at all these Downs people dancing. But there is a video going around right now that there are some Ukrainian soldiers with mental disabilities that are on the front lines. And so there's like a video of like a soldier and because he's Ukrainian and you don't know any of the words, he's not speaking English and he doesn't have the same facial structure and stuff. You can't tell that he's like a retarded guy until he does like the, and he's like, but he's in full military gear. And you're like, dude, that's not cool.
Yeah.
That's so not cool.
Yeah, it's very not
cool. You can't put them in the army.
Even the way you described it was very uncool.
Well, I wanted to impress upon you how bad it was.
That was fucking nuts.
It was upsetting for me to watch.
He'll send me reels of just actual retarded people. Just not even doing, there's no joke, there's no nothing.
Just being them.
Just being themselves.
Yeah.
And I've told him, you have to stop doing that. I can't watch. Just, and then on my feed, because it thinks that's what I like. It's now we're just retarded people, and I'm starting to think like them. I'm starting to catch it.
I hear it is infectious.
Yes.
So here's my fear. I think that the reason I'm so obsessed with watching them is that every now and then I see one of these people, and they're not. It's not usually Down syndrome that I relate the most to, but it's the ones that have just like
real. What mental disability do you relate the most to?
High functioning autism.
Okay.
Like those kind of like the love on the spectrum guys.
Yeah. That's because you think you're smart.
Yeah, exactly. But no, so that's exactly, right. Exactly. That's yeah, what it is. Yeah. Is that I see these guys and like work. I watch one of them and he's like, there's this dude that was on Love on the Spectrum named James and he's English and he goes, well, actually, when you were fighting with swords, you would actually not want to hit the swords directly against each other because the metal would possibly break or dull the blade over time. And the way he's talking, I all the time just want to do that. What he's doing feels like if I was just like, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I'm going to be my real self. It would just be an autistic guy that's super into swords.
Are you faking not being autistic?
I think I might be. Yeah. I think I could just be pretending to not be autistic and it's somehow working.
Yeah.
So I watch those guys and they're doing that and they're like, this is the thing I'm obsessed with. And we're all looking on the outside looking in like, I'm this fucking retard like swords.
No. Not all of us are doing that. Okay. You're doing that. But you are doing that. It's very clear that that's what you're doing.
60,000 likes. I'm not the only one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But listen, drag syndrome has a million followers on TikTok.
What is drag syndrome?
It's people with Down syndrome doing drag.
Feels mean.
It's awesome. And they love it. And they are fabulous gay men that have Down syndrome. And they're like 30s and 40s. And they're like, I'm Davina Starr, darling. But just goofball face. So many followers. And it's like, not all of us are watching because like, yay, that's good. A lot of us are watching like, what? So,
yeah.
But when I see that, my fear and suspicion is that that is how people see me doing stand up. Mm. They're like, look at it. It's telling jokes now. It doesn't even know it's retarded.
Yeah.
That's my fear is I'm one of
them.
No,
now I get your whole act.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I get it. I've been watching it from a this guy's smart perspective. It's given me a whole new appreciation for
I'm
what
doing
you do.
An impression of a smart person.
You are doing comedy on a lot of levels I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
Which only a retarded person could possibly do.
That's my good brain thoughts.
Yeah.
It was me painting with words.
I don't think anyone's.
I create a tapestry with my mind.
I don't think anyone thinks you're retarded on stage.
But I try and tell them. I tell them, like, guys, I'm very dumb. And then I tell them reasons why I'm dumb. And they're like, that's hilarious. He's a genius.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, an actual truly dumb person would not have the ability to confront how dumb they are. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't. Right. Right. No, I don't. See, that's where I think you're faking it. Because I don't believe that you think that you're actually dumb.
No.
Right. You just managed to somehow find a way to throw that at you. And Trey have more in common than you think.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. I mean, Trey's a great guy, but fuck you. That's so rude to say.
I know.
He sounds like an RV in Cars. Have you met my father, Mater? What are you talking about?
He sounds like an RV in Cars. I just watched that last night.
Really?
I did.
Dude, what a... genius.
Good movie. It's a good movie. Pixar rules.
I've never seen it. But Pixar does rule. But they always make me cry.
Yeah.
I don't want to cry.
Yeah. Watch Soul.
Have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah. I love the meme about that.
I can't watch.
Because there's like the progression of Pixar movies are like, what if toys had like a consciousness?
Yeah.
And then it was like, what if cars could talk? And it's like, what if black people had a soul? It's like, yo, what the fuck, Pixar? It's like, that is a crazy progression of movies.
Is that you? Is that a joke?
No, it's a meme that was viral for a long time. Okay, yeah, okay. But it just, it was like,
that's insane.
So crazy to see. Like, what the fuck?
That's a tough one. Watching him, like when he finally gets the gig and then dies, I can't watch the movie.
Dude, he falls down the thing and then turns into and I'm just like, Yeah.
I'm sitting there, I'm going, no!
Yeah. You gotta get to that gig
it's tonight! You know what I mean?
So there's a show called I'm Dying Up Here.
Yeah.
And it's a story of comedians in LA when the Comedy Store was like really popping in like the 80s or whatever.
Okay.
And it's a big group of them. And in the first episode, their like favorite, like their one in the group gets the late show with the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson or whatever. And then the big thing is getting called over to the couch. And so he goes up and he crushes on Carson. Then it gets called over to the couch. And all of his friends, the other comedians, are watching on TV and they're all excited for him. And the way they've set up the whole show, this guy that got on Carson, I've been relating to him so fucking much. I'm like, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to do that. That's the comedy route I want to take. And I'm watching it. And then as soon as he gets off Carson, he walks outside and then just steps in front of a bus and kills himself. And my mom was the one who suggested I watch this show.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there on the couch with my mom watching this show. And then he kills himself. And I'm like, no! Yeah. And she was like, you want to watch the next episode? I was like, no!
Yeah.
I don't ever want to watch it again. Yeah. You killed me!
How nice would it be to get hit by a fucking bus?
Terrible.
Okay.
I don't want to get hit by a bus. Everyone's going to see me naked.
Yeah, that is
smushy
true.
And gross.
That is true. I don't like that at all.
I want to die in a plane crash. I think that'd be so fun. And then it's definitely making the news. Plane crash is already exciting. Comedian dies in plane crash?
Yeah.
As I can long die as at they this just, level and still be talked about as comedian dies in plane
you think
crash.
So? I think about that a lot.
Yeah. If yeah. I died right now in a cool way,
yeah,
I would be comedian dies in whatever. Like that guy in South America, in Colombia. He was in Medellin and he got killed by a hooker. And he said, American comedian dies in Medellin, Colombia. He was like a shitty open micer. It's got like 3,000 followers on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
That might be the route.
Go to a small market.
Yeah.
Die.
Yeah. That's kind of my plan anyways. Perfect.
It's next level.
I always knew he'd end up as my manager.
Yeah.
All right, Darian, so I've got a big tour for you planned. You're going to do a date in Panama.
Yeah.
And then you're going
to
get
you're
going
to move to Fredericksburg.
Yeah. No. No more Texas.
Yeah.
You're bigger than that.
You're going to Asheville.
Also, Fredericksburg
baby.
Doesn't read well. Mm-hmm. It's not going to look good on CNN. We need big press.
Yeah.
Hard to find hookers that'll kill you in Fredericksburg.
New Orleans.
Oh, buddy. Yes. Here's what I'm thinking. You are the Mardi Gras float. We're going to get six dudes standing on you dancing.
Yes.
He's the whole float?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he's half a float. Well, just
what the hell are you talking about?
All right, it's time for kickoff for the Super Bowl.
Root beer float, maybe.
Oh, boy. When was the last time we had one of those?
Not that long ago. Oh, we had it on the road.
Yeah.
That place on Route 66
Kingsman,
Diner.
Kingsman, Arizona.
Yeah, Route 66 Diner. We had root beer floats.
They were
fucking
incredible.
Great.
Dude, they're good.
They were unbelievable.
Dude, root beer floats rule.
Yeah.
They should be everywhere.
My shoulder hurt, but other than that, yeah.
Sounds like a you problem.
Yeah, it was a very big me
problem.
Don't
blame that on the root beer float.
Yeah. Man, that trip
you're the dumbass
sucked.
I wanted to bike to Vegas. We could have left so much later, rented a car in Vegas, driven to Kingsman, had a fucking root beer float, and come back. Or here, get this. We can
I'm thinking about
gone to Skankfest.
Well, I'm thinking about. So I think we should do it again.
Here we go.
But we're gonna not bike, but we're gonna say we're biking, and we're just gonna go
and just lie
and just lie.
Okay,
that's what I said.
Yeah, I think we should.
I don't understand why that wasn't the plan the whole time.
Well,
I thought
the plan
for
now.
Sure, like 2 or 3 days in, you were like, all right, guys, let's just drive like 6 hours today and just be like, man, Darian's killing it.
You thought I was really gonna do that?
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Oh man, I was so stoked for this to be like us get there like 5 days earlier.
I do like the idea of you slowly realizing, oh my God, he is going to bike the whole way.
The whole time.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to sleep on this table bed. I'm gonna have to sleep on this table bed for 2 weeks.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm very sorry. Luckily, the footage turned out great.
We assume. We haven't seen any of it.
Fuck. We're one week away.
Make sure to follow Never Going to Make It, which turned out to be an omen about the movie.
Yeah, it is retarded. We called it that. Oh, my God. We're a week away from are you going to? We'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, make sure you follow at @Darian_comedy on Instagram.
You don't have it. Doesn't matter.
It's fine. He's gonna go die in Peru or something.
Yeah. I'm going to a small market.
Small market.
And I'm going to die. So don't follow me.
2024 goals. Make sure you follow Creek in the Cave Studio. Like and subscribe on this channel, please. It helps a lot.
Also, if you're feeling, believe it or not, it does actually help us in our position. If you could report this channel.
I know that's going to sound crazy.
It sounds nuts. It sounds nuts, but we kind of need that.
We need guys.
Yeah, we need somebody looking at this.
Episode for hate speech. Yeah. It would actually, like, if you could cancel us, actually, if you could find the most offensive part of this episode, clip it out, say, I'm gay, I'm Republican, and then do my Asian accent right after that. Perfect 30-second clip. Get me canceled. Daddy needs rent money. Yeah. All right. This has been Highly Social. Have a great week. Bye.